Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, welcome back to the Creep Dive. Here. Look, we actually can't shut the fuck up this week.
We've got more.
We have, like, we're sitting here giddy gooses. God's giddiest geese. And we're on Twitter watching the Taoiseach resign. And Sophie has informed us that she has this story about wrestlers and we don't want to go home yet. So
let's go.
BuzzFeed headline for us today, Sophs.
And you thought your family was sad.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Did I mention that it's not a fun wrestler story?
Oh.
Well, it is. Okay, so this is the story of the Von Erich family. Have you ever heard of the Von Erich family?
No.
Okay.
But we're not the people to ask.
This is coming in hot from Susie Donnelly. Who sent it to me a month ago. And it's taken me this long. But Susie, thank you so much.
This is good, because when you originally said that, I was like, oh shit, we've definitely done wrestler.
Well, yeah, we did Chris Benoit.
We did like bad wrestler, like abusive wrestler.
Chris Benoit was the guy who killed himself and his whole family.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's an episode from the way, way back, if anyone is looking for more of me talking about something that I really don't have any business talking about, that's pro wrestling. So just straight up top, just want to get this said. Do not come for me about my limited understanding of the sport. I've done my best with what I've got at my disposal brain-wise. And the crucial elements
are all there. The facts are the facts.
I'm going to give you some very, very surface, superficial understanding of wrestling. Mm-hmm. But like, let's stay focused on the personalities and the people.
I really want, are you going to talk to us about the misuse of steroids? Because it is an absolute joy of mine.
To misuse steroids.
To talk about
steroids.
Well, you
have the look of someone who misuses steroids.
Do I? Am I looking musclier? Strong. I'm lifting weights. Can you tell?
Yeah. That's why Sophie and I have started calling you Big Bum, Big Buff Jeff. Big Buff Jen behind your
Big
back.
Big Bum who?
Big Buff Jen.
Big Buff Jen.
Large Marge the Barge. That's your wrestling name.
I'm working on my traps, lads.
Going to make the carotene dive in no time.
I want a big neck. That's been a... I want a thick neck.
Why?
I think it just looks good that your head is being like, no one's worried about like whether you're
falling off.
Yeah, basically.
Right.
There's strength in a thick neck, like a big trunk of a tree.
There is some steroid mention.
I love
it. But mainly there is a lot of bad luck. This is Bad Luck Brian, but it's a whole family.
Oh.
Do you ever look into Bad Luck Brian now?
No.
Did we do Bad Luck Brian on this podcast?
I don't think we've ever done him. I mean, I don't think there's a huge amount to him. except that, like, he's a man. He became a meme. He continues to live beyond the meme, but the meme never dies.
Hard one, isn't it?
Do it a quick. Are you going to do a quick Bad Luck Brian meme?
You know who he is, guys. He's in a tartan vest. This is a high school photograph. He's got a mouth full of braces and his head is slightly on a tilt.
And he has a little shirt on. Give us a couple of captions.
And a very happy little face.
Bad Luck Brian.
Oh yeah, he did one of those BuzzFeed videos where I accidentally became a meme videos.
I do love them. I love the Bad Luck Brian memes.
So the memes go from gets a high score, golf, post picture. Oh no, these make no sense. These are too American centric. However,
some of them are things like you went to New York. It was 9/11.
Okay,
yes. It's just generally a man who is constantly being beaten down by life, or not a man, a child, a teenager. Anyway, back to the Von Erichs. Right, so Von Erich family. So in wrestling, there's loads of like kind of mafia style wrestling families where like generations of wrestlers, they're all brought into the fold.
Like The Rock and his dad.
Exactly.
The Boulder.
Thank you.
No.
The Quarry.
Yeah, Mr. Boulder.
Is that true?
And his son is The Rock.
They should have called him
And his grandfather Quarry.
You got me.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Okay, so the patriarch of the family is a guy. So Von Erich is a stage name. So the original wrestler that jizzed out all these wrestler kids is Jack Adkison. And he started wrestling as a young man. He was born in Texas in 1929. And he got into wrestling very young, kind of starting out in the late 50s, 60s. He also at that time got married very young to Doris. Lovely.
Was she kind of like super big curly hair, like titties resting upon pectorals kind of individual?
Quite a devout woman.
Sorry.
Quite different. But very supportive of Jack, who changed his name early on to Fritz Von Erich. She was very supportive of Fritz's wrestling. I'm going to call them all by their stage names from here on out.
All right.
Fritz's wrestling career. And for many years of his kind of like early career, they all lived, him and his then young children and Doris, in a trailer that they drove around Cassie Delaney style to all his matches and stuff.
Whoa. And so dedication.
Basically, he took on the name Fritz Von Erich because he remember
Fritzl was already taken. The basement basher.
Fritzl was elsewhere being evil.
I see.
And so this is the years after the Second World War. Obviously, people would have had feelings about German names. Mm. And also he was like, his persona in ring was Nazi guy.
No fucking way.
Yeah. So
not Nazi basher.
No. Nazi guy. Loving guy who is a Nazi.
And
so in wrestling, there are things called, seriously, anyone who knows wrestling is going to be hard eye rolling throughout this. But anyway, there are things called heels and they're like the villains of the storyline.
Okay.
So they're like, so the whole of wrestling, as we know, is like, it's very like, it's a pageant.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like,
it's musical theater.
Well, I was going to say, it's quite like The Real Housewives, but it's wrestling instead of Chardonnay and shouting over dinner.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, as in, it's scripted reality.
Yeah.
Like all of the wrestlers in the wrestling federations and stuff, they know the outcomes of the fights. Mm. By and large, they'd often have agreements about who's going to win and who's going to triumph. And there's vast interconnected storylines that the wrestlers are acting out. And there's loads of bravado. It's still a lot of athleticism because they have to learn how to do the moves and do them kind of safely. And also they have to like put on this incredible spectacle. And also like nowadays, the wrestlers are fucking gigantic. Their necks are as wide as their shoulders wide as their heads.
Huge.
And they're like, in terms of just like human specimens, they are incredible. Now, back when Fritz was starting out, you had way more just like random guys who had the bodies of random guys, a lot of dad bods in the ring back in the '60s. And the Von Erich family were kind of the early generation of wrestlers who were like unbelievably ripped and unbelievably gigantic. And they were often fighting against these like older tier wrestlers who, again, just kind of pretty dad bod. Mm-hmm. Pretty soft bod. I could have been a wrestler, not a prop. And so I do kind of think Fritz is a bit like the, an original Chris Kardashian, because he basically made all his own people and made them all in his likeness, sort of. You're dying to say something. What is it?
I just can't get over the poses. Like, it's very of its time, but it's so camp. So it's him just tiny in a tiny white fronts with a pair of socks. And he's kind of pulling kind of, it's almost like he doesn't know what to do for a photo.
Well, you think the hand is weird.
Yeah.
The hand was a gimmick. So he does pose in all his photos with kind of like a strange
weird hand. Yeah.
Which was dubbed the Iron Claw.
Ah.
And was his finisher. So, yeah, I know.
This is chaos.
I know we've talked, but the temptation to take that Fajazzle card and work away on it now while you're telling this story.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah, can
absolutely,
I?
Yeah.
Share the crafting wealth.
Okay, we're Vajazzling a panda. Cassie and I.
Anyone who's listened to the last three episodes.
Probably do have some kind of sickness where we can't sit without having. Look at me, I'm going for absolute town on this hair slide. Anyway. Push it away,
so
Sophie.
This was the claw.
So the Iron Claw was his finisher. So what he used to do was when he was a heel, so he was like constantly being like booed in the ring and like living up to his villain status. Sure, we know, like say the Undertaker.
Yeah.
Like they, it's almost like, it doesn't matter. You're getting paid the same no matter what to play this role. Do you know what I mean? Whether you're the kind of triumph guys are called face. The facers.
Okay.
Aren't they faces? Where they're kind of on a winning streak.
And people know it's a play. So it's not like they're following this guy around thinking he's a real Nazi.
No. Possibly not so much.
Okay.
Actually, it's kind of a good question. Like, how much were the sort of in-ring storylines known to be storylines? Don't know if people had as much awareness of it back then.
Mm.
And also...
Yeah. And the fake relationships.
Yeah.
I believed them to be real.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think as well, like their actual sports, like the sports side of it was like possibly a bit less evolved in terms of like, now I think they, you know, the way like they smash chairs over
That's
each other
right.
and they know how to take a hit and they know how to fall and they know how to do all this kind of stunting.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe it, listen, it was just kind of like a bit more bare bones back in the 50s and stuff.
I'm with you.
And so the Iron Claw, he used to like basically get his hand over someone's head and like just squeeze at the temples.
Ooh.
And his hand was said to be so strong that like
he pop your eyes out.
He could fell a man with it. And so he and Doris started pumping out kids pretty early doors. Their first son was Jack. Who was born, so they had their first child in 1946. And
Jack is 75 now, still alive.
Sadly, dead. Jack only lived to the age of six.
What?
So.
I bet you feel bad now.
Yeah,
there
do,
you go.
Mate.
What a bitch.
Happy Jack.
What a bitch. Sorry, he was born in 52.
Okay.
And he died in 59. Freak. Accident. This is final destination. This whole family is final destination shit, kind of. So basically, you remember they were living in a trailer,
yeah,
touring around
behind
Fritz's gigs. And Jack, the little boy, who's obviously nobody was watching, and he touched like a live electrical
on
wire and fell face down. Into snow.
Oh
my God.
Yeah. That's very bad.
Absolutely
God
devastating.
God loved the family. And that was the only child to them so far?
They had another little boy at that time who was two when Jack died, and that was Kevin.
Okay.
So Kevin's the second son. And like I said, Fritz was a bit of a Kris Jenner.
Yeah.
There, I think, was probably never any doubt in his mind that he was making pro wrestlers. With each spooge,
I see.
There was potential for
greatness, more
to build
and more.
Out the pack.
Yeah.
The Von Erichs pack. And so in the meantime, right, it's a bit of little bit of pro wrestling situation here. Okay. There was all these like kind of different alliances. So there was like National Wrestling Alliance, World Class Championship Wrestling Alliance. So there was the NWA, the WCCW, you know what I mean? And like we think of the WWF now and stuff like that. And they're all really confusing. So just accept it when I say that.
Somebody was a part of this.
Somebody was a part of this. Somebody else was a part of this. And so, and Fritz, sorry, himself, like really athletic guy, like back before he got into wrestling, he was a football star. He kind of went to college on a scholarship and didn't make it in the like, national arena. He was a discus thrower who set like some major record before he
a
then.
Very impressive sport.
Very impressive sport.
Mm. He was a big man.
A big man. And he then, you know, and he also was kind of a big part of like the Japanese wrestling scene as well.
Wow.
And he was a businessman too. And he kind of like held, yeah, he held the world heavyweight champion ship at one time in the 60s. Now, when his kids were little, this is kind of cute. All the little boys used to love watching dad on his wrestling
conquests matches.
But because he was a heel and constantly being booed at by the audience,
yeah,
they didn't like listening to them booing their dad. Aww. So what they would do is, so they went on to have five sons, and when the five sons were little, they'd watch dad on TV, but four of them would cover their ears and eyes, and one of them would take point kind of watching. And then when their dad was winning, he'd like get all the brothers and be like, hey, watch, his dad's winning. And then like when he started losing again, they'd all cover their eyes, and then one of the others would take a turn having to watch through the misery.
That is so
which is
fucking cute.
So cute. So as I said, Kevin was a toddler when Jack the eldest died. Kevin grew up, went into the family business of wrestling, and was followed by the next brother, who was David, who had also been a tiny baby when Jack had died.
Okay.
And then
they just happened to have all boys as well.
They just happened conveniently to have all boys.
And were they kind of gigantic people?
They were largely gigantic. I'll tell you now a little bit about Kevin, who's second born, David, third born, and Kerry, who was fourth born. And they were all pretty close in age, born kind of within 8 years of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And born within 5 years of each other. So in terms of physicality, right. So we've got Kevin, who was pretty muscly, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Like doing well by any metric in terms of physique.
He looks like a young Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yeah.
He's not as big as Arnie. Like, he's more of a, like, do you know when Bruce Willis is really ripped?
Okay.
Say in Die Hard. He's, like, got that kind of physique. Then we've got David, who is, like...
Rock and roll.
Yeah, quite rock and roll. And tall. And, like, there's a lot of hair going on with all these guys.
Mm-hmm.
They have incredibly 80s hair before even the 80s.
Teased.
Well, they're kind of working through this sort of 70s and 80s. And David was, he's kind of lankier and taller and less like massive bulk than Kevin and his dad and Kerry.
Okay.
But he was the showman.
Oh, wow.
He had the gift of the gab.
Oh, I'd say that's
so much
part of
wrestling,
it. Yeah.
Massively important. And then we have Kerry, who was third surviving brother, fourth overall brother. And Kerry was the real specimen.
Wow.
Of wrestling.
I mean, they are handsome.
And hair.
Handsome.
They're all handsome.
Good hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the hair.
Hair.
That's not dissimilar to my Bob.
I was going to say this is very Farrah.
Mm.
But yeah, he's doing a long Bob.
Cool.
And and all three of them were hot property.
Oh,
the Von Erich brothers. And they immediately started wrestling both individually and together. And they had a very long, famous feud against a trio called the Fabulous Freebirds.
Another family.
They weren't a family, but they were all...
Three wrestlers.
And so Kevin was seemingly quite shy. He was like... just he didn't have the
grow to be the
panache
okay
of the other brothers in terms of like the shit talking that's required and stuff like that. And like they generally seem to have left David do a lot of the talking and a lot of the bantering and threats.
Yeah,
because a lot of wrestling is in it's interview threats talk. And talking about how you're gonna like fuck somebody up and you better not come for me because you know what I mean. Yeah. There's a lot of that kind of posturing and stuff like that. And obviously Fritz had trained all his boys and they trained with each other nonstop and they were at absolute like peak physical condition.
And they knew the business lads. Inside out.
And they'd just grown up directly in that world. I think there was really never any question that like they say that they absolutely adored Fritz and Doris. But there is some kind of
stage dad situation.
Yeah. And there's some kind of sense as well that like Fritz and Doris were probably pretty damaged by losing Jack.
Mm.
And also, I suppose, of a time, like they were parents in the 50s. And I'd say there probably wasn't a whole lot of like emotional support and things like that. And
yeah.
Who knows? But the brothers were devoted to each other. It's actually so sweet and then so sad.
What happened?
So anyway, Kevin, David, and Kerry are flying high. Initially, Kerry had actually slightly veered away from the wrestling path and he was becoming a massive discus champion. And you remember Fritz
amazing.
Held some mega record for discus. Kerry smashed his own father's
and
record.
And is this more Kerry's style? Like he wants to do discus.
He did want to do discus. Yeah, pretty much. Now, it's possible that Kerry kind of always sort of thought he might go into wrestling as well.
Mm-hmm.
He was basically in line to compete in the Olympics in 19...
For wrestling or discus?
In 1980 for discus.
Okay.
And then the Americans boycotted the 1980s Summer Olympics. And that kind of like put the kibosh on...
his Olympic career?
Yeah. And it was they were boycotting because of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. And so when that happened, he was like, oh, I have to wait 4 more years, blah, blah, blah. Fuck this. I'll go into the wrestling. And so he did. And so the brothers were in their 20s. Kerry was, I think, the kind of like hot one.
Mm.
David was the cool one.
Okay.
And Kevin, I think, was kind of the like shy one, but nice, endearing. Kevin got married to Pamela in 1980 at 22 years old.
Stunning.
And she's beautiful. And I think she kind of took him under her wing a bit in a nice way. Like they, at the time when the three of them were kind of at their peak in the early 80s, they were like the Beatles of Texas.
Oh,
they
yeah.
couldn't
I can see
go
that.
Anywhere without being completely mobbed. Mm. They used to like get mobbed in the ring. Like security would be peeling women away from the ring.
Because they were so irresistible.
Yeah. And at one point, obviously Fritz, massive showman. So Kevin went to Fritz and was like, Dad, you have to stop like paying these girls, these actresses to be like fawning all over us because it's like really distracting and it's really hard. And the dad was like, oh, they're not on the payroll. They're just girls who absolutely have the horn for you.
Deadly.
And so... tragedy struck when David in 1984 was just 26. He was going over to Japan to wrestle in their leagues. And lots of the time they'd be doing these kind of like tours and like it's just a massive big money machine, yeah. You know, selling tickets to these fights and stuff like that. And basically he had gotten married. So he'd been married young and at 20 and he and his wife had had a baby who had actually died as a baby. So he literally was kind of history repeating in terms of like Fritz and Doris lost a baby.
Firstborn.
And then David lost his baby, David and Candy. And then their marriage kind of fell apart after they lost the baby.
Mm.
And he'd actually gotten married again at 24 to a woman called Patricia. And they remained married until David died 2 years later.
26?
At the age of 26 when he was in Japan, in Tokyo.
What happened?
And basically he was...
Heart attack.
The US Embassy's report said that he died of acute enteritis, which is basically like an inflammation of the small intestine. And
bizarre.
It's kind of usually caused by actual contamination of food or drink.
What?
Now, other wrestlers have been quite public saying that everyone in wrestling believed that it was actually an overdose that David had died from. And if you think about it, like, okay, so there's probably steroids going on among lots of these wrestlers.
But it was
we don't know for definite.
What year was it again?
Like 1984.
Oh yeah, full steroids. Oh, yeah.
Also, these guys were like, sometimes they, when they were touring, they were wrestling like 300 days out of 365 days a year.
Exhaustion, cocaine, the amphetamines, everything.
Injuries, probably,
yeah, internal
opioids
bruising.
In terms of well, internal bruising and actual actual injury in the ring, but also painkiller dependency and stuff like that. And so lots of people in the wrestling business were like, yeah, it's a drug overdose. And they believed that. So the guy who found him was another wrestler, basically went looking for him when he didn't show up for his call time. And this wrestler was called Bruiser Brody, incredible wrestling name. Found David in his hotel room. Like, tragically, it looked like David was trying to make it to the phone.
Oh, no.
And some people believe that Bruiser Brody got all the drugs in the room.
Yeah, I probably
and
did.
Got rid of them before police arrived.
And to be honest, I'd do that for both of you.
Thank you.
That was a good pal.
Side note, Bruiser Brody went on to be stabbed to death.
What
in the showers.
Wrong? By who?
After a match by
an opponent.
Wrestling promoter.
Promoter?
What?
Apparently, but he was never charged.
What is going on
so
here?
This, like, I feel like every time we even go anywhere near wrestling as a topic, the real life stories are crazier than the in-ring feuds and shit like that.
Of course. But
like Chris Benoit.
Huge pressure on the performers.
Unbelievable.
Drugs, no doubt. And probably a bit of dealing and a bit of testosterone and the roid rage.
Probably a bit of betting as well, do you know?
Yeah.
The way they're to throw matches, yada, yada, yada.
Exactly. The family said, the Von Erichs had said that they some of them had seen or heard that David had been vomiting blood before he went to Japan.
Mm.
So, like, was not a well guy. And there seems to be some suggestion that Fritz was kind of a bit like, well, you show up, you do it, you know, no excuses. And we're winners. So, you know, who knows? The other theory about David's death is also really sad, that he may have been bulimic.
Oh.
And that they kind of think that because his physique was kind of different to Kerry and Kevin's. He was sort of naturally heavier and maybe like to like be lean and, you know.
Okay.
So there's a possibility of that too. So all in all, devastating for
the family.
The whole family, but Kerry and Kevin were really rocked and also obviously now down a man. And the thing was, David had been lined up to do a match with a guy called Ric Flair.
Nice.
Who was at that time like the world heavyweight champion. And they had lined up this match.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Like David was going to win the title from Rick. Like everyone knew that this was what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead, after David died, and apparently thousands, like maybe up to 5,000 people went to his funeral in Texas, and they had to like pump it out over speakers and stuff like that. Incredible, they didn't sell tickets.
Ric Flair, Flair by name.
Ric Flair has a whole look.
Flair by nature.
Incredible Flair. I
hate to bring Jimmy up again, but there's a Jimmy Savile Jimmy hair. Off, Rick.
Yeah. No, do you know what he looks like? Stretch Armstrong.
Exactly.
A little bit like Ric Flair is a living legend, as in is still living.
I see that.
Incredibly. He's had a wrestling career of over 5 decades and the man is still alive, which is crazy, particularly in light of what we're discussing. So basically, when David died, before he could claim the title from Ric Flair, they said, okay, Kerry, you're up.
Okay.
And it's really interesting because Fritz was always kind of pulling all the strings here. And I think Kevin had been in wrestling longest, but he kind of didn't have, like, Kerry was just simply gigantic. He was a fucking gigantic man. And apparently, like Hulk Hogan, they had some kind of agreement that Kerry wouldn't really be like photographed beside Hulk Hogan.
It would make Hulk look small.
Yes.
Mad.
Yes.
Let's have a look.
And I guess like Kevin kind of just got a bit of a sort of, he ended up just playing this kind of part of a journeyman, really, rather than being like as mega a star as Kerry.
Well, I think, well, Kerry was like the most handsome.
Yeah. Kerry had that going for him as well.
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, I think, is an absolute like badass. He wrestled barefoot. Which I find fascinating.
Gripping with his toes.
Yeah, yeah. Because obviously the boots, the sort of famous wrestling boots.
Probably didn't fit him.
I just think to look at the barefoot wrestling just looks way more like hardcore. He looks like he just strayed into the ring wearing his jocks.
Like Neanderthal.
Just out of bed.
Exactly.
Anyway, so they turned the scheduled show where Kerry was going to win off Ric Flair into a huge big tribute hoopla to David Von Erich. And it was at that show that Kerry won the title from Ric Flair. Now,
with ease, I'd say. And prearranged.
And then Ric Flair won it back about 7 weeks later. Grant. This is how it all kind of went, do you know, that kind of way. And so Kerry Kevin were left now, as I said, down a brother. Luckily, there was a few Von Erichs in the back pocket. So there was a fourth brother. I'm just going to go by living brothers because this guy's technically the fifth, but he's the fourth of the living brothers. Mike Von Erich was, you know, again, a few years younger than his brothers. And they basically were like, okay, it's Mike's time. Mike, you're up. Mike was smaller. There he is beside Kerry.
I see.
He's, yeah, a little bit smaller.
He's younger.
I would say considerably smaller.
He's younger. He's smaller.
Yeah.
He's in his late teens.
Oh, he's only a baby.
He's a total baby. And he, maybe early 20s. He was never really going to be
a star.
As much of a star.
Big tick heading him, as they'd say.
Yeah, I mean, like, actually, to be honest, within any other family at all, he'd be probably quite built. And you'd be like,
but
yeah,
not this one.
That guy's doing, he's healthy, he's strong. Mm-hmm. But beside his brothers, just not quite happening for him. And so then, quite unfortunately, so like, Mike had, not as much interest in wrestling. He was kind of interested in the behind the scenes. He was a camera operator for the shows.
Yeah.
And also really into his music.
All right.
Oh. And it did feel like maybe he was slightly shoehorned in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he injured his shoulder very badly when they were on a tour of Israel. And in Israel, he had surgery. And the surgery seemed to go not too bad. And he was brought back to the US. But then he got a staph infection while he was in hospital, which led to something.
Sepsis.
Well, no, I was going to say anyone who kind of got their period in the 90s and started using tampons probably harbored a deep fear of toxic shock syndrome. Yeah. I don't know, did they overstate it on the packets a bit? Still never heard of anyone getting it from a tampon. But anyway, toxic shock syndrome. And apparently during this infection, his temperature got up to 42 or 43 degrees.
So like, shut you right down.
A normal, like boiling your brain. Like a normal temperature is 37, 38. And so he came out of a that coma and he made
38 is a fever. I think it's 36.
Oh, maybe.
So that's it's fucking boiling hot human.
Yeah. It's like hard to come back from that. And he did come back from it, but there always seemed to be something iffy with him. His like cognitive processing seemed off. He was carrying this injury. Okay. He wasn't as much of a natural wrestler as the brothers anyway.
Oh no.
It was up to the brothers to kind of rehab him.
Smash him in the ring.
Well, his life post the injury was really like not fucking working out. He had one marriage behind him already. He'd actually gotten divorced just before his injury. It seems like in interviews, there's something very, there's issues like in terms of like brain damage.
Yeah.
But he was still up there being kind of trotted out in the ring, stuff like that.
Oh dear.
He then got arrested for a DUI and marijuana possession. And now I didn't mention, but they were very Christian, this family.
Okay.
And like among the brothers, they were like, I love my brother and I love God and our wives, but mostly brothers and God. Hmm. They loved, you know, so it was very like
the family. My statement, by the way, the big thick head in them.
Oh, no, sorry, Jen. You've been glib. Why have you discovered what happened to him?
No, it's just that you went on to tell me that he had brain injury. I didn't, so I feel bad then.
Well, you should feel even worse because on the 12th of April, 1987, at the age of six. No, I'm doing my maths. Born in 64 up to 87.
Seven. 60 or 23. Eight. 64 to, 20. Sorry, say the numbers again.
Okay, 1964.
Yeah.
I know how we're going to figure it out.
1964 to 87, 23. That's
the age
what I
of 23, that. He was found dead. And he'd actually been missing for 4 or 5 days. And Doris, the mom, and Kevin found him.
And so this is the third brother.
He had taken a fatal dose of tranquilizers and alcohol.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
So we have one son dies in his infancy.
Age six, electrocuted and drowned in a snow bank puddle thing. Then another David, sort of slightly disputed cause of death there, but definitely untimely.
Yeah.
And
now we have a suicide.
Died by suicide.
Damn.
And
poor Doris.
So once again, now exactly like Doris and Fritz have outlived three of their sons. It's just like
they need to get out of this fucking so industry.
Meanwhile, shit was going absolutely. So sorry, just to recap.
Who have we got left?
Mike died in 87. So just want to bring you up to speed on Kerry because he's having a fucking bananas crazy time. Meanwhile, maybe I'll tell you about Kerry at the end. No, I'll tell you about Kerry now. So basically, Kerry had kind of crossed over into different wrestling alliance. Remember, don't ask me too many detailed questions about the NWA and the AWA and the AWA. Yeah. Basically, he was kind of off cutting his teeth in sort of the big leagues a bit. They didn't like his claw in the big leagues because all the brothers did the iron claw as well. And so then he had lots of, you know, storylines and fame. And again, Kevin was slightly left behind, sort of semi run the family business of being a promoter of shows in Texas So like Kevin, sort of, it feels like he was constantly getting vaguely shafted. So in 1986, so a year before Chris's suicide, but in and amongst all of the drama of his Mike's suicide,
yeah.
in and among all the drama of his injury and stuff like that, Kerry was in a motorcycle accident.
No.
Yeah. June 4th, 1986. Nearly died. Right. He was out on his motorcycle.
Nearly dies. Okay.
Out in the motorcycle, middle of the night, wearing literally the very tiny shorts that were popular in the 80s. Dear. Like anyone who's ever ridden on a motorcycle, you wear full fucking leathers. You don't even go it's in jeans warm. On a yeah, motorcycle yeah. because if you have an accident, those jeans become a part of your skin.
Yeah. Your skin will just peel right off.
Well, yeah. So he was in his shorts and he fucking crashed directly into the back of a parked police car.
Fucking drugs, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was 1986 and, you know, does seem to be.
Chances are.
A lot of drinking. Obviously, they were still grieving as well. Mm. Like David had been like a power personality in the family.
Yeah.
Do you know that kind of way? And a real like bringer together of the brothers. And I think the dynamic kind of fell apart a bit. And then when they had onboarded poor old Chris. No, Mike.
Oh God!
You know,
yeah, and then was a vulnerable type of character anyway. And
exactly,
then
and Kerry had been in charge of training Mike,
oh,
and so there may have been a bit of kind of blaming guilt. Himself and yeah. stuff like that. And so anyway, he had terrible injuries, dislocated hip, really fucked his right leg, and so they seem to have kind of pieced his right leg back together, literally using shards. Of the bone that was left. They did a lot of surgery on it. And then basically they had actually managed to kind of reconstruct his foot and everything. And then bloody Kerry, it seems like when he was in hospital and potentially like on a shit ton of meds and not quite knowing what he was doing, walked on the injured foot, fucked it.
Oh, like
they had to amputate.
Oh, so it was the effect, you know, when you have to wait for the super glue to dry. And then you don't.
Yeah.
And it just collapsed in on
exactly
itself.
Exactly like that. Marginally more painful, I would say.
Oh, dear.
And so here is, this is crazy, right?
0 foot.
Now 0 foot.
1 foot.
Below the knee was the amputation.
All the way down. Okay.
Kind of mid-calf.
Right.
Kerry kept wrestling.
Oh, my God.
On a prosthetic?
He had a prosthetic boot.
Did he make it a thing?
Or a prosthetic in the boot. No, he kept his amputation secret.
Oh my God.
And nobody ever found out outside of, I'd say there might have been talk among wrestlers because like he always showered in his boots.
Right.
But it was not known to the public. It was not widely known literally until after he died.
But they knew he had what a fucking injury. Beast. So he was limping a bit.
Well, no, he basically rehabbed, learned how to wrestle. On his
determined
on his prosthetic boot, he was so determined that nobody find out that he used to shower in his boots after matches and stuff like that. Now I would say that this absolutely accelerated his drug use because I'd say the pain he was enduring just existing would have been
chaotic.
Because if you think about a prosthetics evolution. Like in the mid 80s, who knows what he was dealing with.
Carved
really.
Out of wood.
Yeah, yeah, who knows. And even I've thought about it a lot and looked at videos and trying to figure out how they got it to stay on his calf because unless maybe
there was
the boot laced right under the knee.
Mm.
But there was, and now I couldn't find any footage of this and I did look, but there seems to have been at one instant of the whole time in his career where the boot came off during a match and basically his opponent was yanking on his leg or whatever. And the opponent fucking pulled off the boot.
So how did they cover that
presumably up? Presumably had a moment of going, fucking hell, did I pull this guy's leg off?
Yeah.
And apparently Kerry snatched the boot and rolled down out of the ring so that people couldn't see him.
Okay.
And right. Under the ring is this kind of, it's called a ring skirt, but it's material.
And he rolled in under there.
When he shoved his lower body under there, got the boot back on, back into the ring, and immediately fucking back to the fight. Just
Jesus.
Barely seconds passing before he'd righted the whole situation.
Mad.
Just an athlete of insane ability.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sad
though at the same time.
It's very sad. He became addicted to the painkillers. A lot of drug problems, kind of arrests, you know, his personal life was kind of going off the rails in terms of like his romantic relationship and things like that. And, you know, he was still, I suppose as well, like very secretive and therefore unable to be that close to people, you know.
Yeah.
But
that was the biz.
That was and the it, biz.
It's funny that,
but
kind
the thing
of
is, he was doing
showbiz
well
and yeah. athleticism.
That's right. Yeah.
But exactly. I mean, he was, but he's obviously absolutely tormented by grief, though. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, but he was doing well enough on the other wrestling circuit. 1993, Kerry had just turned 33, and he had been at this point charged with. Drugs violations and stuff like that, and it looked like he was actually on the cusp of having to do jail time.
Mm-mm.
And he went to the dad's ranch, so they all lived within like a kind of a 5 mile radius of this kind of the main family compound in Texas. And he went to his dad's ranch, and he said to his dad, "I love you."
Oh no.
Before hugging him.
No.
No.
And going into the woods to take his own life.
No.
Oh my God.
He shot himself in the heart.
Holy fuck.
I know.
This family.
33 years old. Jesus. And like Kerry had children. He had two kids. As far as I know, two kids. And, you know, but he just like, he'd been really on the kind of down spiral for a while. Like one wrestler has come out and said that as early as 1990, so 3 years before that, Kerry had told him that he wanted to join his brothers in heaven and was waiting until God told him it was time.
This is like the virgin suicides, but like darker.
Yeah. And so then that wrestler...
Imagine them wrestling. Just had an inward thought. But this, I'm just Googling images of Doris. Like, how could you carry on? Like, that is such tragedy.
I know. How did they keep carrying on with the wrestling and not think
Who's
that there's
left,
some
lads?
Level? There's two, so six brothers in total.
David.
Four are now dead.
Kevin. Jack died.
Yes.
Drowned in the puddle.
Mm.
Kevin's alive.
Okay.
David died in Japan in the hotel room.
Mike
died of a drug overdose. He went away and they didn't find him for four
so
or five
now,
days.
Yeah.
And now Kerry's died.
So we only have David.
We've got Kevin, and we have one last Von Erich brother waiting in the wings that I'm about to tell you about.
Oh.
So...
Holy shit.
When Kerry told that wrestler about how he wanted to join his brothers in heaven, so... Jack, David, and Mike. The wrestler was like, no, like your daughters need you more than your dead brothers need you. Mm. And this wrestler, his name's Brett, they were friends, kind of thought that Kerry was doing a little bit better. But then like in the summer of 1992, the year before he actually died, he told that friend again that his brothers were calling to him. And... it seems like Kerry was just, you know, in bits. Kevin describes Kerry ringing him kind of the day of or the day before, kind of definitely saying some stuff that made Kevin scared.
Yeah.
And Kevin basically being like, no, please, you know, don't do anything rash. We're going to work this out. And, you know, just trying to be a good brother to him. And it's just so sad, isn't it?
They're so young.
So, so sad. So... after Mike had died, so that is the young lad who was in the coma, mm-hmm. seemed to suffer brain damage.
Yeah, mm. OD'd.
They had onboarded Chris, who was the youngest of the brothers.
Into wrestling again.
Yeah. And Chris really didn't seem to fit the bill in terms of... He'd been quite a sickly child.
Oh, no.
He'd asthma and very brittle bones. So very prone to breaking bones.
Whoa.
He was the shortest of the brothers at 5'5".
That's
He really never really
looked
did any kind of wrestling to write home about. They tried to, like, he did love wrestling. And I think that's the thing. They did all love it, seemingly, even though it really destroyed them. But he never reached anything like the kind of heights of his family. Sometimes he wrestled with Kerry and Kevin in tag team matches. But they kind of always organized it so that Chris would just wrestle against the kind of smallest person. And really, after several years of not being able to succeed in wrestling, Chris was deeply frustrated. He also was devastated at David and Mike's deaths. And in 1991, at 21 years of age, he killed himself.
Oh my God. Five out of six brothers.
Yeah.
Three suicides, or two definite suicides, one overdose, suspected suicide.
No, three definite suicides, one overdose, slash accidental, slash bulimia, slash enteritis.
Right.
Not sure. Definitely untimely.
Yeah.
But it, yeah, because Mike overdosed
intentionally
after he really had suffered brain damage.
Yeah.
Kerry shot himself.
Chris shot himself.
Chris shot himself.
Jesus.
Unreal.
Do we have any is there any suggestion there was abuse at home or?
No.
Okay.
Like the brothers, well, Kevin, you see, is now kind of the only person who can speak for them all, really.
Yeah.
But said that, like, and also Fritz was still alive when Chris took his life because, so he'd literally outlived five of his sons at that
point.
My
God.
But Fritz didn't die until the kind of late 90s of cancer. And yeah, like Kevin just said that the brothers were like a unit, like so supportive of each other, even though it's funny because they would have been like, you know, sometimes one would be selected to advance and win a title and stuff like that. But they did seem to just really, really love each other and support each other.
The puppy next door.
All right.
And they obviously all really like held on to Jack, the oldest brother, even though only Kevin and David were alive when Jack was alive.
Yeah.
I think that there were pictures of him in the house and like,
I guess the trauma is still passed down as well.
Totally, yeah. And then they were being raised by parents who were traumatized by that event. And
this is so sad.
It's so sad, isn't it? But
so
wait.
What became of Kevin?
So Kevin is alive. It's great. So happy that Kevin's alive. And he seems like so sweet.
Yeah.
But basically, like Kevin really from the off just seems to have always been the one who just wanted kind of the simpler type of life. Like he was shy. He didn't court fame in the way that like David was a natural at it and Kerry was just built for it. Kevin stayed married to Pam. They've been married for like over 40 years.
Amazing.
Wow.
They had kids themselves. I think they had four kids. Certainly he has 13 grandchildren. He seems to have loads of property in Hawaii and seems to like spend his days having a nice time, is so nice. There is a third generation of wrestlers.
Oh.
Yeah. So David
Kevin's
son.
David is Kevin's
trained
son.
By his dad.
Okay.
He is in the MLW, Major League Wrestling. He goes by Von Erich. He goes by Ross Von Erich. Then there is Kevin's other son, Kevin, who goes by Marshall Von Erich and is
also
as of 2019, in Major League Wrestling, the same as his brother Ross. Then Kerry's daughter went in. Remember, Kerry had two daughters.
That's right. Yeah.
Kerry's daughter went into wrestling as well. And she was known as Lacey Von Erich. She wrestled for a couple of years. Seems to be a bit of a badass, but she didn't go for it for too long.
Fucking hell.
And That is the totally nuts story of the Von Erich family. They were inducted into the World Wrestling, what's WWF? Oh, yeah.
World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, it's now called the WWE. Who knows why? And basically, what's Von Erich were in. Well, yeah, what does E stand for? I'm not sure. WWF.
World Wrestling Entertainment.
Aha. Ah. So anyway, they were inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2009. Literally only Kevin was there to receive it. I mean, obviously, I presume the next generation all attended. But yeah, Kevin was the only one who survived. And it's really, really fucking sad. But if you want to watch a really brilliant film about it all, it's called Iron Claw.
Yes.
And oh, that's the new one with Zac Efron.
Plays Kevin. And Jeremy Allen White plays Kerry.
A brilliant
arguably
casting.
A little bit short to be a Kerry, but look, he's fucking brilliant in it. And all the acting in it's amazing. And
did you watch it?
I did.
And it's great.
It's really good. It is really interesting so Susie had told me about the movie and then also the real story. And basically, it's just interesting because of the fucking scale of the tragedy, they had to kind of condense it for the film. So they actually just cut out Chris altogether.
Okay.
So you don't even realize that there's actually three brothers that died by suicide. They kind of just skewed some of the things with timelines.
Seems
and
sad
things
to
like
cut
that.
Chris.
And there's like definitely detail that's like not in Lacking. The film, but it's a really good film. Really enjoyed it.
Amazing.
I mean, really enjoyed it. I was really sad.
Gripped by it though.
Yeah. So
what
that's
an amazing
the
story.
Isn't that mad?
Thank you so much, Sophie.
Thank you.
Thank
the
you,
Von
dear
Erich curse, as it's known.
The
and
Von
actually,
curse.
Kevin named his kids, gave them the last name Atkinson very specifically.
To shake the
curse.
But then all the kids took Von Erich for the ring.
But of course, they always rebel.
Thank you, Sophie.
Thank you,
listeners.
Thank you, creep listeners. That is, we've recorded like
teamwork.
Some like over 4 hours of content today.
Pandas. I love it.
Complete the craft. This is available ad-free behind our paywall, and that is our Patreon. So drop in if you're thirsty for more.
Patreon.com/creepdive.
And thank you so much.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.